Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 20. And the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 31. Today's message is titled, Who Then? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning of verse 10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked, a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain? Since he toils for the wind, all his days he eats in darkness and with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realize that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him. For this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. Here ends our first lesson. The gospel is from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 23. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. We left off last week with the beloved rich man walking away from Jesus, walking away with great emotional angst, tearing him apart. The young rich man came running up to Jesus and asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus looked at him and loved the young rich man, such that this encounter ought to be called the beloved rich man. Asking what he must do, Jesus gave the young rich man a task that the rich man just could not do: sell all and give to the poor. And the most important part being, then come, follow me. Come, follow me. Jesus loved the young rich man so much he called him to come and follow. But the young rich man turned and walked away from the one who so deeply loved and completely loved the young man, such that he was asked to come and follow Jesus as a disciple. Come and be in relationship with Jesus as a disciple. As the young man walks away, walking back home, after such excitement and energy of running to Jesus, a dejected and disconsolate lad dragging feet in the dust falters in his steps. He's leaving Jesus. As the young rich man, with shoulders heaving and heavy sobs, heads off into the distance, Jesus says, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." How hard! In the Greek, the meaning of this adverb is "with difficulty," such as how hard it is to pass through. Like trying to pass something too large through a narrow passageway. Like passing a basketball. Take a basketball and try to make it go through a hole that's just large enough for a golf ball. It's just not possible. Riches make it hard to enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is referring to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in a believer's heart. Enter figuratively means to enter for an important purpose. Important purpose, yes, such that for the believer enters into the Lord's blessings, which reach on into eternity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 can give us more insight to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." It's a question. A question: do you love God above all things? Or hesitate to let go of the little bit of riches you may possess? Hard to let go, for we trust in riches. We trust in them to bring comfort, to bring security. And if plentiful enough, oh, the privileges that riches can bring, the doors that riches open. But one day one will find out that riches, though they provide in daily life, they cannot save. They cannot build faith or grow in Christ-likeness. For the more one has, the probability is the less of need for Christ. It's thought about or felt or even comes to be in the heart. Where is the one who has little, of necessity, turns to Christ, looks to Christ, and desires Christ to be all in all? Consider the parable of the sower to help us understand. Remember those seeds that fell amongst the thorns? The seeds that grew up into plants? Eventually, though, the thorns choked them out. Jesus said, it's written in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful." The worries of life. Deceitfulness of wealth. Choke it out. Wealth will not solve your problems. Oftentimes, wealth exacerbates your problems. There are accounts of accounts after accounts of lottery winners whose lives have been devastated by the winnings. Or do you remember Extreme Home Makeover? Yes, Extreme Home Makeover and those amazing blessings of those new mega homes. It seemed to be an answer. Oh, this is an answer to prayer we so oftentimes heard in the show. Then came the rising utility costs, the skyrocketing property taxes, the growing maintenance bills such that they just could not afford the home anymore. They couldn't afford them anymore. And then add to the reality of the market value of all the other homes in the area around their house, around their mega home, you get the picture, it just doesn't add up. Quoting one summary reflecting on all of it, I think it's time for Extreme Makeover examines their priorities and focuses more on what the family needs and can afford, and less on creating a feel-good moment that draws ratings. Tomorrow and reality always arrives. Tomorrow and reality always arrives. Or in the words of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, as it declares, starting at verse 10, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? Still, the disciples were knocked out of their socks at Jesus saying, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples' appearance and reaction was noticed by Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 24 describes the disciples were amazed. They were astonished. The meaning of the Greek word is amazed and points to them being almost terrified. Yes, terrified. The disciples were so caught off guard by Jesus' words, they were dumbfounded, emotionally shutting down due to the suddenness and unexpectedness of Jesus' words that brought rising fear into their faces. Jesus sees the reaction of the disciples and he continues. The disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Children, it's a term of endearment that a teacher often uses for his disciples. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. How hard. Jesus then gives a hyperbole to show how hard it is. Hyperbole, an exaggeration as an illustration of how hard. Well, actually, it's impossible. Mark chapter 10, verse 25. The hyperbole. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Eye of a needle. It's a hyperbole, an exaggeration to make a point. It's not to be taken literally. True. Hyperbole like, and these are hyperboles you may have used or said to others, I've told you to clean your room a million times. I have a million things to do today. Or this one, it's wintertime coming up, so you may hear this one around the corner. When I was young, I had to walk miles and miles to school in the snow, uphill both ways. Hyperbole. Or, I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. Or, it's raining, cats and dogs. Hyperbole. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's a hyperbole that stunned the disciples, for they understood the word picture of the hyperbole. There is no way a camel can go through an eye of a needle, and even less likely for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Impossible. Impossible. That's the word that rises. Impossible for the rich to enter. It stunned the disciples. Mark chapter 10, verse 26. The disciples are even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Now, in the English, Mark chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 26 both have the English word amazed. Verse 24, the disciples were amazed at his words. Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed. Same English word, amazed. However, in the Greek, it's two totally different words. Verse 26 has an adverb translated as exceedingly added in verse 26. Verse 26, the adverb exceedingly modifies amazed, which would be better translated as stricken with panic and shock. Stricken with panic and shock. They were so stricken and panicked with shock, they exclaimed, "Then who is able to be saved?" Who can be saved? Who can be saved? Who then can be saved? Who then? I mean, in a manner of crying out in terror, as if there's no hope. A camel doesn't go through an eye of a needle. It just doesn't happen. A rich man won't enter the kingdom of God. A rich man who they thought had the sure shot of entering the kingdom of heaven. If they, who had that sure shot, won't enter, who then can? Who then can be saved? Who can be saved? They can't. We can't. Who can be saved? Do you feel the emotion of the moment that's written there in the Greek? Any hope of anyone being saved? Who then can be saved? That's what's happening in verse 26 there. In response to that question, who then can be saved? Jesus answered, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at him and said, "With man, this is impossible. But not with God. All things are possible with God." Jesus looked at his disciples. As it says, Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them. Jesus looked at his disciples in the same manner Jesus looked at the young rich man moments earlier. Emblepo. That same word I described to you in last week's sermon. Emblepo. With that penetrating look, sustained, concentrated look to see deeply inside, full of love and concern. Jesus looks and sees the consternation, sees the disciples' dismay that brought forth the question, who then can be saved? With man, this is impossible. Let's sit there for a moment to really understand Jesus' answer to the question, who then can be saved? Jesus begins, his answer begins, "With man, this is impossible." In the Greek, the play on words is heard, and in the Greek it can be seen. Who then is able to be saved? Able is a verb, and it's dunamai. Able, it means to able to have the power. With man, this is impossible. Impossible is an adjective, adunatos. Adunatos, unable, powerless. And adunatos is a compound word made with alpha, a negative prefix added to the adjective dunatos, and able and powerful. So you're not able, you're not powerful. And this word is related to the verb dunamai. Dunamai. Who then is able to be saved? Who's able? Who's able to be saved? Jesus answers, "With man, it's unable." Man is not able to save. In your own ability, in your own strength, in your own power, in your own resources, you are not able to save yourself or save anyone else. It's impossible. For what we need to be saved from is sin and the wages of sin, which is death. There is nothing we can offer. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can exchange. We just plain are not able, and not capable of saving ourselves. Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. With man, impossible. But not with God. Not impossible for God. As a matter of fact, Jesus goes on to say, all things are possible with God. The alpha is dropped from adunatos. The negative prefix alpha is dropped. And so God is dunatos. God is able. In God there is power. There is ability. In fact, there is preeminent ability. What man cannot do for himself, God is able to do. We cannot save ourselves. God is able to save us. More than likely, you've seen motivational posters with these words. With God, all things are possible. Quoting a portion of Mark chapter 10, verse 27. I did a quick internet search using this phrase to search. Positive thinking, with God, all things are possible. And so lots of images came up of posters. With God, all things are possible. With God, all different things. With God, things are all possible. But one of them caught my eye, and it's rather interesting, and it really explains our predicament. It says, this was on this poster, positive thinking poster. With God and myself, all things are possible. Can you see how this portion of Mark chapter 10, verse 27 is being taken out of context and is used in a manner so far from what Jesus actually is saying? It's used to motivate, like wishful thinking, magical thinking. If I say it enough and meditate out enough, all things are possible with God. I can succeed in whatever I want to do. You see, all things are possible with God and myself. I can do whatever I want to do. I will succeed. I admit, I fell into that trap years ago. As many books on positive thinking in my basement can testify against me. And many are falling into that same trap these days through prosperity preachers' teachings. It does sound wonderful. It does give hope. I can do all things. I can do all things are possible with God. I mean, you know those verses? I mean, it offers a path to success. It offers a path to riches. Doesn't it? All things are possible with God. But is that the context of Jesus' words? Jesus said, with man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Context is in response to the question, who then can be saved? All things are possible with God has to do with who can be saved. It's about salvation, not gaining earthly successes. This is about who then can be saved. With man, with human effort, impossible. I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E, impossible. Human effort. Ecclesiastes speaks of what human effort brings. Ecclesiastes, starting at chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. All through Ecclesiastes is the refrain. Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Such that Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, he goes. So he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain, since he toils for the wind? We come into the world naked. We depart the world naked. For as we come, we depart, and we take nothing from our labors. What has a lifetime of human effort accomplished? Can we take the stuff with us? Where are those fantastic treasures of precious metals and rare gems that were buried with the pharaohs all those thousands of years ago? All those things of gold, those things filled with rubies and opals and sapphires, emeralds and pearls, all that great opulence buried with Pharaoh. Where is it now? It's now sitting in a museum on display for our eyes to see. And it gives us an opportunity to ponder, where we can ponder before all those treasures of Pharaoh for us to see in a museum. We can ponder the meaninglessness of wealth and opulence. For even Pharaoh, with all that wealth and all that power, even Pharaoh, naked, a man comes from his mother's womb. And so as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. Pharaoh, in all his power, could not hold on to it either. Being powerless, that is our condition. Powerless to save ourselves. Salvation by human effort is impossible. We needed a Savior. And the Father sent the Son to save. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus' own words from John chapter 12, verse 32. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Draw all to myself. Draw in to redeem and save. The context of the Gospel of Mark chapter 10 today revolves around who then can be saved. For the next thing Peter says, we have left everything to follow you. This translation into the English misses the power of Peter's exclamation that is there in the Greek. Behold, we have left everything to follow you. Behold is a demonstrative particle used to call attention to what is being said next. Jesus, look, we have left all to follow you. Peter's saying we have already done what you have just asked that young rich man to do. Jesus asked the young rich man to let go of all and come and follow. Peter is drawing attention back to again to who then can be saved. Trying to know, will they be saved? They left all. They're following Jesus. Will they be saved? To these words of Peter, Jesus responds, Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 29. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Left home, left family, left fields, left all for Jesus and the gospel, will receive in the present age much including persecutions to, and in the age to come, eternal life. They left all for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And remember, gospel means not only about Christ and following Christ. The gospel is about the whole entire Bible, from the creation of man, the fall of man, the sinfulness of man, the promise of the Christ to come, the coming of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, paying the redeeming price for our sins, the ascension of Christ, and the coming again of Christ. The entirety of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that is what the gospel encompasses. For Jesus spoke of all these things, our sins, our need of redeeming, which He was going to do by being lifted up and crucified on the cross for our sins. Jesus told the disciples He was going to die and rise in the third day. And Jesus also spoke about coming in the fullness of His glory in the age to come. Peter says, "We left all, just as you had just asked that young rich man to do." Peter asks in a manner, "What about us who have left all to follow you? Jesus, what will become of us? Will we be saved?" To which Jesus gives these comforting words, "And in the age which is coming, eternal life." The young rich man came running up asking, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" After looking at the young rich man and loving the young rich man, Jesus tells him to let go of all things, let go of all of his things, and then come follow. Peter said, "We have left all things. What about us?" Jesus answers, "You left all for the sake of Jesus, for Himself, and for the sake of the gospel. You will have a hundredfold." In other words, your needs will be provided for, along with persecutions will be coming. And in the age which is coming, eternal life. Peter, you left all. Eternal life is yours. It will be yours. Yes, Peter, eternal life is yours. It is about Jesus becoming all in all in your heart. Jesus being your all in all must give up everything. Especially give up thinking you can earn your way into heaven. You can earn your way to inherit eternal life. All the good you can ever do, all the good that you will ever do through this life, it still falls short. It falls forever short of reaching for and grasping eternal life. The divide is too great. We cannot cross it. With man, this is impossible. We are unable to save ourselves. Just as it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, it is just not possible for us to save ourselves. So God came to our rescue out of His great love for us. God came to our rescue. The Father sent the Son to save us, to redeem us from our sins, and set us free from our sinful nature. And the Son destroyed death. God did what only God can do: save us and give us eternal life. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was crucified on the cross, was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And unsurprisingly, that is exactly what comes next in Mark chapter 10. Jesus again predicts His death. Such is the love of Christ. Yes, such is the love of Christ and the Father for you. Anyone can be saved, for all things are possible with God. Even the most wicked, depraved, revolting, broken, lost sinner can be saved. Even tax collectors and prostitutes, which means even you can be saved. For all things are possible with God. That is the wonder. That is the amazing truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone can be saved. So let go of everything. Be open to the mercy and grace of Christ that calls you, such that Christ becomes your Savior, your Lord. Let go of everything, so Jesus becomes your all in all. Amen.